Seas, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. The executive director of Multicaf, the food bank in Côte-des-Neiges, received the King Charles Coronation Medal for his dedication to the community.
This recognition is not an endpoint, but a motivation to keep pushing forward. Let's continue to believe in our power to act, dream big, and create a future where everyone belongs. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I accept this medal in all our names.
That was Jean-Sébastien Patrice, the recipient of the medal. The King Charles Coronation III Medal is a special honor awarded to one person in each province or territory for exceptional community contributions. The medal was awarded at a special ceremony at Multicaf. Multicaf is also celebrating its 35th anniversary this year. But it changed very rapidly under the direction of Patrice when he took over in 2017.
When I arrived here, only the employees, we had five permanent employees. Right now we are almost at 30 employees, and during the summer we are at 50 employees. So just that deserve a lot of attention. We used to have numbers of the business affair. It was $580,000 per year. Now it's $7.5 million. So, and the people that we are helping, we used to have in 2017 less than 1,000 people that we serve. Right now it's 16,000 different households. So it's a whole different story.
Patrice managed Multicaf through COVID. He slept in his office during the height of the pandemic to keep his children safe from exposure and stay dedicated to the food bank. Patrice says now the large problems facing Multicaf and the community are inflation and economic instability.
If the economy has some difficulties, people will come here again and again, and that will be a mainstream difficulties for us. So that changed a lot, and the society is always in movement, and we had to adapt each time for the demand, the growing demand.
Demand for Multicaf's food service has risen tenfold in the past year. Under Patrice's guidance, 81% of Multicaf clientele gain independence in about 5 months, no longer requiring the service. That time used to be 18 months before Patrice.
People has to go back to work, go back to school, go back to whatever the style of life they chosen, but they have to go back to be an active for the society. So we worked our head off during 2 years, and we lost $1 million the first year because we bought a lot of things because I didn't want to say no. Because I didn't know how to say no.
Right.
When there's a family that come here during the winter and they don't, the kid doesn't have boots or a coat, and they are hungry, how would I say no?
Multicaf is now developing a massive food stability center in the Hippodrome area in NDG. Patrice is planning for the center to have greenhouses, gardening, markets, and more food resources for the area. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Yeah.
Welcome to Eastern Promises, the latest and greatest music coming from Atlantic Canada. I'm your host, Donald Roberge, excited to be here on CJLO 6090 AM on the Montreal radio dial and at CJLO.com, where we're continuing to celebrate Black History Month. The song you heard off the top is none other than the legendary Halifax jazz saxophonist Bucky Adams and the Basin Street Trio with the song Afro Minor. That was recorded for the 1976 record Bucky Adams and Basin Street at Privateer's Warehouse. Bucky Adams was born in 1937 into a musical family in Halifax, starting off on the bugle and then the trumpet before settling on the tenor sax. He then had an over 40-year career playing and teaching in Nova Scotia while being a band leader for local groups like the Rockin' Rebels, the Roadrunners, the Ambassadors, the Unusuals, and the Basin Street Trio. He also played alongside international acts like Oscar Peterson, B.B. King, and Louis Armstrong. The man had a decorated career too long to list before passing in 2012 at the age of 75, and now deservedly has an East Coast Music Award named after him. The Bucky Adams Memorial Award is given out annually to an African-Canadian or Black Canadian who's had a significant impact on the music industry in Atlantic Canada. And I couldn't think of a better ambassador for Black History Month, and for jazz for that matter, when it comes to the music of the Maritimes and Newfoundland and Labrador. So we have a packed episode for you this evening. I'll be playing new music by St. John, New Brunswick's Port City Junk, as well as a great electronic track by Newfoundland and Labrador's Spence. But I'm happy to say I'll also be dedicating a portion of the hour to an interview with Halifax-based indie rock band Post Fun, who were in Montreal recently for a performance and who I had a chance to sit down and talk with. So stay tuned, and before we get to that, let's play a few more tracks in honor of Black History Month. Here's another legend in his own right and the 2024 winner of the Bucky Adams Memorial Award. This is PEI musician Scott Parsons with What I Am.
Don't understand. There's better things to do. Some folks don't understand. No matter what you do, well, everybody wants to know what I am, what I am, what I am. Everybody wants to know what I am, what I am. Well, I am an Englishman. Understand, there's already enough pain. Some folks don't understand. Inside, we're all the same. Some folks don't understand. There's better things to do. Some folks don't understand. No matter what you do, everybody wants to know. Well, everybody wants to know. Well, everybody wants to know. Well, everybody wants to know. Well,
Come on, give it to me.
As-tu déjà eu l'impression d'être éclipsé par ton partenaire et mis de côté? Est-ce que ton ami semble déconnecté depuis leur nouvelle relation?
Ce sont tous des signaux que quelque chose ne va pas. Femme Avertie est une organisation à Montréal soutenant toute personne dans une relation toxique ou abusive.
Pour en discuter, vous pouvez nous appeler au 514-489-1110.
Femme Avertie, par les survivantes pour les survivants.
Hey man, what are you listening to? Is this Weezer? Are you really listening to Weezer right now? It's 2021, bro. Pull up to the castle every Friday at 1, only on CGLO 1690. It's good, I swear.
Welcome back to Eastern Promises, where we're playing the music of Atlantic Canada. I'm your host, Donald Roberge, here at CJLO 1690 AM on the radio dial and at CJLO.com. Before the break, we were honoring Black History Month by playing music from some influential Black Atlantic Canadian artists. I played brand new music by Halifax-based musician Dee Hernandez with a live version of her song Crazy Love. Hernandez, whose Afro-Cuban roots have brought a much-welcomed injection of a unique jazz, soul, pop, and funk to the region, is best when seen live, so I found it fitting that she released a live track, which really showcases her talent and her power as a performer. She's also emblematic of the talent and culture Black Canadians continue to contribute to the Maritimes and Newfoundland and Labrador. And before that, I played another incredible Black Canadian artist, PEI singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Scott Parsons. That was the song What I Am from his 1993 record, Jupiter Wise, and a song that was used as a theme for the United Nations International Conference for the Rights of the Child that same year. Scott Parsons has spent over 5 decades sharing stories about PEI's rich Black history. He grew up in Charlottetown, his family has settled there from Nova Scotia, and he was mentored by none other than the great Gene McClellan, who loaned him money to buy his first guitar, which he still has. Parsons, who's worked as a lighting technician, a filmmaker, and a president of PEI's Black Cultural Society, also spent years working with at-risk youth, using music and performance. Besides receiving accolades for his accomplishments, Parsons can currently be seen touring, playing, and promoting Black heritage around Atlantic Canada. Just amazing. So here's some new music by St. John, New Brunswick duo Port City Junk. This is Country Tunes.
Alright, we'll do one more.
Got them dusty boots with the country roots and the sunrise in her hair. Well, just last night she took flight and left a few hearts bare. See, the stage was stacked and the place was packed. There was people everywhere. She stepped to the mic and with all the fight, well, she left them with a blank stare. She played some country tunes. Ah, she rode under the moon. And she knew daylight was coming soon. That's why she wrote some country tunes. Washed up with an empty cup and nothing.
the egg to moan, and he sang a song, and he left them with dead air. So he got a band, and he hit the land. All the money was fair, but they got drunk, and he hit a farm, and they just left him there. They played some country tunes. Ah, oh, they rode that day by noon, and they knew daylight was coming soon. That's why she wrote some country. That's why they wrote some country tunes. That's why they wrote some country
Arizona from their EP Furniture released last summer. Post Fun blew through Montreal recently as part of a mini tour in our province, and I was fortunate enough to catch wind of this and meet up with them for a quick chat. Now, for the sake of transparency, I should say that the band was running behind and had literally just arrived in Montreal, having driven in from Quebec City ahead of their show at Turbo House that night. Turbo House, as many of you know, is located in the Latin Quarter, not the greatest place to park, let alone when you're in between two major snowstorms. And we were both conscious of time, so to keep things a little easier, we met in a conference room at Montreal's Central Library, which has indoor parking and is just a stone's throw away. Though you could say it was unconventional, it didn't deter the band, who were in fine form and pretty generous with their answers. So here's my interview with Post Fun. I'm here with Nova Scotia's Post Fun in Montreal. We're sitting in a library, of all things, ahead of their show tonight at Turbo House with Renard Blanc from St. Hyacinthe. I was wondering if you guys could introduce yourselves.
Sure.
Starting with the leader of the band, Kevin Lang. They had a show without me last night. I play keyboard and saxophone.
My name's Jack. I sing and I play guitar and bouzouki sometimes.
My name's Seth. I play guitar.
Louder,
My name's Seth. I play guitar.
I'm Connor. I play the drums and I sing.
I'm Mackenzie and I play the bass and sometimes do something into a microphone.
Well, welcome to Montreal. I just want to know, where are you guys from exactly in Nova Scotia and how did you meet?
A bunch of us are in Halifax. I'm living in Dartmouth now, which is also where we have our rehearsals. But Jack is from a different community.
Well, I'm from near Peggy's Cove area, still very close to Halifax. It's about 45 minutes away.
We love you nonetheless.
Yeah, you're still all right. I've lived in Halifax for the last couple of years, but I was born in Calgary, actually. We were just talking about that, funny enough. And then I moved to Lunenburg, and I've been around. But living in Halifax right now, yeah, we... did we meet in... I met Seth in school, but I think we've just kind of been in similar circles and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, where are you from? Sorry.
South End, Halifax.
Oh, yeah. I think we... The band had gone through a couple different iterations, but I joined the latest, and I knew Seth, and I knew these guys from Association. They'd been playing together for a while, and they were, like, my favorite Halifax band. And then I got the chance to join it, which was really awesome. But yeah.
We met at a Social Smokers Club show.
Yeah.
And Coleman broke your girlfriend's thumb.
She didn't break it. They were moshing a little too hard.
Me and Connor hated each other.
Look at us now.
Yeah, I still don't
in a library it. In Montreal.
I definitely met you at a Social Smokers Club show.
Mm-hmm. For context, Social Smokers Club was Jack's band before this one.
Yeah.
That we're doing quite well in.
I think
Russia.
Everybody knows.
He used
that.
To tell these. he used to tell these long form stories during the sets that all had a narrative, and it was like, well, these wayward travelers that like got lost or something. One of the first things I said to Jack was, you talk a lot during your sets. And then he was like, yeah. And then I was like, weird. And then I just like looked off in the distance and walked off.
Real meeting of the minds.
I have a really big hate for dead air when I'm playing, I guess. And I just, that was what that was in that band. So yeah. I would tell these little, like, kind of narrative stories, take the audience through each song. And part of it was just to make sure that there wasn't a period where people are feeling awkward.
Yeah.
And I've evolved a bit. I think you need a kind of, you need a lull in a set so people can, you know, tell their friend what time it is and stuff.
Yeah.
There was definitely no one but you that knew what was happening. But we probably trusted that you knew what was happening.
Yeah, we've met each other around. We'll tie it all back together.
Yeah, it sounds serendipitous.
Yeah, it's very, very beautiful. Yeah.
So your second EP, Furniture, I believe you're touring on the strength of this. I listened to it. There's a lot going on in this record. You've got all kinds of, you got a variety of sounds. Mm-hmm. I think that you've been labeled kind of alt rock, but it's not really, or alt country rather. That's mm-hmm. not really. I mean, I heard some, but I also mm-hmm. heard some jangle rock. I heard some jazz in it, some improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
Heard some pop hooks. It's really, it's accessible music, mm-hmm. but it's not exactly classifiable. Well, what would you say it is? What do you feel your the kind of music you make could be considered?
It's a constant difficult thing for me to try to describe. It's difficult when you're like connected to it in a lot of ways, but just drawing from the influences that we have. Very much pop, alt rock, emo, very emo, country emo stuff, mm-hmm. Americana stuff.
The classic country emo combo.
I think it's cool because it is just like, and you can edit this if this word isn't the right one, it's a confluence of all of our kind of
a cosmic combo.
I think that's a good word.
Nailed it. Exactly. Of all of our influence.
I like astro folk.
Yeah, I think that was cool too. We were labeled as astro folk, which was nice. I like that.
But it's good because who knows what that even means.
Exactly. Yeah. No one has a clue. But it kind of ebbs and flows and goes different directions. But yeah, I think Jack touched on a lot of the sounds. I always find it easier to like say bands that I think we draw inspiration from or maybe sound like a bit. Like there's, you know... Andy Schaaf, Pine Grove. You had Wilco at one point, which I can kind of see as well. Yeah.
That was actually my next question.
Yeah.
Who do you feel are your influences?
Great Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great band from Atlanta.
Rosie Tucker. Yeah, they're excellent too.
I've always said that we're bigger than the Beatles.
Yeah.
We're a lot like the Beatles, except a little bit.
Great Grandpa. Pine Grove. Andy Schaaf, Heroic.
Also filmmakers, too.
Timber Tambor.
Oh, yeah, Timber Tambor.
Chad Van Galen. And then a lot of amazing local Halifax bands that we've seen
over the years.
Montreal's Timber Tambor.
Yeah.
What filmmakers are you thinking of?
There's a ton of Lynch references all throughout this band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were very saddened to hear the news of his passing.
We have some David Lynch quotes in our first EP.
Yeah, scattered throughout.
From his interviews.
It's interesting because your songs tend to have difficult subject matter, including addiction, heartbreak, but I never get the sense that it isn't hopeful or optimistic in any way. Is that are you conscious of doing that, or is that just kind of a byproduct of your songwriting, of your creative process?
I'll take this one. No, I'm kidding. Jack's the song.
Oh, nose pretty. Of that. I feel like
I'm interested to hear Jack's answer to this.
On the nose for that concept.
I would say that I definitely, when writing lyrics, really want to touch on like important subjects that are difficult to navigate, but the challenge is to try to make it as funny as possible a lot of the time. Not all of our songs are funny ones. But I think if you can look at it through like a playful, nostalgic lens and like also kind of bring in our own culture and experiences growing up, it's like, that was so insane. So-and-so did this thing, or life was brutal back then, and then having a laugh about it. That's kind of how I approach the subject matter for sure, because it starts with like an emotional thing that you want to express and then trying to make it as funny and enjoyable as possible. You like grow up listening, like all the songs I like showing friends are the songs that are really funny. I like listen to this guy's line. So I've always tried to chase that.
Yeah.
Trying to get better at it for sure.
Listening to your music, and this is no disrespect to all you guys, you're all accomplished musicians, I'm sure, but what strikes me the most is your vocals, is Jack's vocals, because I find they're really the driving force on top of all the sound, which is actually a compliment, because it's not that common that you hear that these days. A lot of times, you know, a vocalist kind of hide behind or not the driving force behind the sound, that the overall sound. And do you write songs, or do you make your music knowing that this is an actual factor? Is it even a factor, or is this something that I was the first person to point out? I'm sure I can't be.
I think you are the first person to say that for sure. But my writing process would start with like lyrics, and if I have a line that I think is really important to the message of the song, then collectively we'll try to like build a section to isolate that part or to build around the subject matter of that part. In terms of like a mix, is that what you, do you mean like the messaging or the what the vocals are doing, or do you mean like from a mix standpoint?
More from a mix standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like a conscious effort or just came out in the way that the song started being built naturally.
It could also be due to the post
or to the mixing after the recording process. I mean, I found furniture to be really, really polished, to be honest with you. It was engineered by, what, Braden Kamerman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's done right. Records for Sleepy Kicks, Alex Coley, and Afterlife, who's been on the show.
Great.
It's been a while I've played him, rather.
Nice.
And mastered by Noah Mintz. You know, with Broken Social Scene, Billy Talent, Death from Above, 1979. I mean, these are heavy hitters, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, how did that materialize?
Yeah, Braden has been a friend, and we, like, Sleepy Kicks are really good friends of ours. Alex Coley as well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Braden,
high school with Alex.
Yeah. Kenzie was playing. You were playing with Alex, weren't you?
Yeah, I was filling in actually for Braden in Alex's band for a show last summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, Braden went to the recording arts program at NSCC, which is where a few of us studied music as well. And he was like the standout genius from his year.
Mm-hmm.
And he started getting some good work, and we wanted to work with him really bad as soon as he was out of school, and he was just doing really great work.
Mm-hmm. He was so much more than just tracking and mixing our stuff. Like, he has really awesome ideas, and he doesn't like overstep with those. Like, you gotta kind of get him out of them, because we want them so bad.
His personality, sorry.
Yeah, no, exactly. You go ahead.
His personality just locked in immediately. Mm-hmm. When you start making stupid jokes with someone, like, instantly, and there's no like weirdness there. It's you're also an idiot.
Well, it matters, you know, that you're working at the same, you're operating at the same
level. Yeah,
exactly. But in reality, we're like, he's a genius. We're happy to be told what to do by him.
Absolutely. How much of growing up in Nova Scotia is a factor in your musical journey? Being born and raised and growing up in that environment, do you feel that it comes out in the music that you produce in any way?
Yeah.
You keep on trying to get us to write an Irish jig song.
Yeah. Like, traditional maritime kind of sound. Yeah.
Yeah, like, we pull out the bouzouki on occasion, just like a traditional Irish instrument, but definitely big in the Celtic communities, and I just love that stuff, like the band Villages.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Some of our buddies play in.
Mm-hmm.
John Lake.
Yep.
Johnny.
And yeah, we like that part of it a lot. And then the songwriting, lyrical part, for sure, trying to talk about our lived experiences there. But, I mean, the indie rock scene. I mean, one of my favorite things about Nova Scotia, and I have not been ingratiated in other music towns that much, but one of the things I like about it is how you can have a bill of four different genres, because people kind of pick what they like, and we're a tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we played Dungeons & Dragons with A-Tay and Jax, the rappers.
Yeah.
And Customer Service, the punk band.
Yeah.
It's just, like, we're all doing different things, and we're all friends. And then I like being able to see Bill in just a diverse community of talent.
I wonder if that's, like, you could speak to it probably here in Montreal, but if that's, like, a distinctly, like, maybe smaller city Halifax thing, where it's like these like variety bills, like it's not a genre bill, you know, it's not like just a punk show always, like it's like you got like the rap group A-Tay and Jax that you were saying we would play, you know, an emo band, like just kind of stuff like that. But to that thing, I really appreciate that too, just being able to do that and draw on all the sounds that, you know, Halifax has to offer. It's really nice.
The influence definitely comes in at all sides from everywhere.
100%. Yeah, very much so.
Usually the peers are some of the most influencing or inspiring people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Definitely.
All right, last question. I ask this of all the bands who come through, whoever I get to interview.
Mm-hmm.
What's the coolest thing you ever bought at a merch table? Mine is a pair of Joe Jackson cufflinks.
I'm not kidding. That's incredible.
Yeah, they say stepping out on them.
No way.
They're fantastic.
That's awesome. That's a really great question. I love that. It's kind of a lame answer because it's not anything cool like that. But I just got, there's this band, I think they're from Ontario, someone could correct me, called Chastity. And they just had this, like, long sleeve white tee, which you don't see a lot. It is a lot of, like, you know, screen printed black t-shirts. It's like a very staple local band thing. But they came through Halifax and I got that and I wore the heck out of it. And that was, like, my favorite shirt. So it's not a great answer, but that would be it for me. I don't have anything that interesting, though.
So my favorite merch item is probably from Shaolin, a band in Mackenzie. Played in.
Your track has a tattoo of...
I got a tattoo of that band.
An East Coast band?
East Coast band, yeah. Kind of math rocky. Describing Mackenzie's other band.
That's you give her.
For him. Yeah, for him. Yeah.
But like, Mackenzie's got this cool thing that he's brought to Post Fun as well. But just DIYing a lot of merch items. And they had this merch item where they had all of their faces and the album cover, EP cover, had these lasers going out of their eyes, and there was pieces of yarn of different colors.
On the t-shirt? Was it on a t-shirt? Yeah. That's really cool.
Okay, yeah, those were cool. I made them with my mother. But yeah, it was all done by hand, and yeah, those turned out really good. I have one of those too, and it would be wrong to say that's my favorite merch item. But it's something I'm proud of. Yeah, it's something I'm proud of.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to speak with us here at CJLO, and I want to wish you safe travels back.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
That was my interview with Nova Scotia's Post Fun, who were in Montreal alongside St. Hyacinth's Renard Blanc at Turbo House last weekend. You can stream their latest EP, Furniture, on major streaming platforms and keep tabs on what they're up to either by visiting their website, postfun.ca, or by following them on Instagram at @postfunmusic. Here's a track by a band they spoke highly of during our interview. This is Nova Scotia's Villages with Sunny.
Are you walking on eggshells in your relationship? Are there a lot of red flags? Or do you have a friend that just doesn't seem like themselves since starting a new relationship?
These are warning signs that something might be off. Women Aware is a Montreal-based organization supporting anyone in a toxic or abusive relationship.
To recognize the signs and be informed, you can call Women Aware at 514-489-1110.
Women Aware. By survivors, for survivors.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sheedy.
And I'm Piper Curtis.
We are the producers of Discordia, a 10-part audio docuseries for CJLO 1690 AM, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada Radio Meters Program.
Tune in on Monday, February 24th at 6 p.m. for the sixth episode of Discordia, where we look at student organization against sexual assault allegations dovetailing with the Me Too movement and how they were handled by the university.
That's CJLO.
We respect the music our DJs choose to play.
Are they playing f***ing Coldplay?
How long will they wait?
CJ Lo!
You're listening to Eastern Promises here at CJLO 1690 AM on the radio dial and at CJLO.com. I'm Donald Roberge. You just heard the song Sunny by Nova Scotia's Villages from the 2018 debut EP Hymn After Hymn. And you can find tonight's playlist on my Linktree, which you can access by visiting either my webpage at CJLO.com/Eastern Promises or on my Instagram handle at Eastern Promises CJLO. New Brunswick's Paddlefest Music and Nature Festival, which takes place in May, released its initial lineup for 2025, and it is stacked. Here's one of the performers they have lined up. This is PEI singer-songwriter Amelia May with Good Mother.
She's a good mother, knows what good mothers do. She's holding it together by the strings of her shoes, and by next year she'll be all worn out. She'll be
softly twine, fell in love.
summer nights. Keeping the party alive, the girl you can free your mind. Spying my poem, her lips they taste so. She got me up, let's go. I say you drive a six, she take right through the vault. Still shake my head, she shook my lip, balls, babe. It's a ride, I've seen your guitar hands go. Turn me back and you can play so long. Thinking in the back, she mugged me in a trombone. Jump out the sax, we took a long way. Oh, the party alone, the girl you feel like. Spying my poem, her lips they taste so.
That was the unquantifiable and original Newfoundland and Labrador musician Spence with a new release called Step Up. You can find that and other recent singles he's put out on all major streaming platforms. And before that, I played the song Good Mother by PEI singer-songwriter Amelia May. She'll be part of an impressive lineup at this year's Paddlefest Music and Nature Festival, or Paddlefest, an annual festival that takes place in lovely St. Andrews, New Brunswick during the May long weekend. This year's edition is from May 15th to the 18th and will feature artists like Fredericton's Grand Theft Bus, Wabanaki musicians The Hello Crows, Newfoundland and Labrador's Kelly McMichael, and Halifax's Good Dear Good, featuring Post Fund's Connor Booth on drums. This is just an example of the amazing acts we'll be attending, and you can check out the whole lineup at paddlefestnb.ca. Here's more music from PEI. This is Charlottetown-based Egyptian artist and producer Hikato, who's been nominated for a bunch of Music PEI awards. This is Enough.
I only like you when it's intimate. Distance is pain.
That was the song Enough by PEI musician, producer, and computer scientist Hikaru. Originally from Egypt, his star is quickly rising with nominations for Music PEI Awards. The ceremony will be taking place on Saturday, March the 8th, and Hikaru is up for 5 awards, including for Enough, which is in the running for Single of the Year. I'll be sure to give you guys a rundown of the results, but in the meantime, congratulations to all those nominated. So it's time to wrap up, but I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the passing of Acadian giant Antonin Maillet at the age of 95 on February 17th. The novelist and playwright was born in Buktush, New Brunswick in 1929 to schoolteacher parents and dedicated her life to championing and writing stories about Acadia. Her 1971 collection of monologues called La Sagouine told the story of an Acadian daughter and wife of a fisherman who became a floor washer. The book found enormous success nationally and internationally and was eventually adapted to theater and television, even serving as the inspiration for a tourist park in Buktush called Le Pays de la Sagouine that was opened in 1992. Antonin Maillet kept writing about and promoting the Acadian experience well into her 90s, receiving the Order of Canada and a stamp in her honor among many accolades. Here's a song by fellow New Brunswicker Edith Butler in Maya's honor. This is Sa Swing au Pays de la Sagouine. For Eastern Promises, I'm Donald Roberge. Till next time.
À Buktush, y a un petit royaume. Ce royaume, c'est un petit pays. Sorti de la tête d'Antonin. C'est le pays de la Sagouine. Ça swing au pays de la Sagouine, ça chante au pays de la Sagouine. L'Acadie de tout partout s'y donne rendez-vous. Le trésor de l'île aux puces, c'est nos coutumes et nos us, nos espoirs et nos racines au pays de la Sagouine. Qu'on soit d'en haut ou d'en bas, on vient tous danser là-bas, au son de la ruine babine, au pays de la Sagouine. Ça swing au pays de la Sagouine, ça chante au pays de la Sagouine, l'Acadie de tout partout s'y donne rendez-vous. Que tu sois d'un pays cajun, ou bien d'un pays lointain, on est cousins et cousines au pays de la Sagouine. Le long de la côte et des dunes, jusqu'au fond de la lagune, toutes les saveurs marines au pays de la Sagouine. Oh, ça swing au pays de la Sagouine, ça chante au pays de la Sagouine, l'Acadie de tout partout s'y donne rendez-vous. Balicoco, la rampure et du fico, du homard et de la poutine au pays de la Sagouine. La sagesse au fond d'un cio, un accent qui est très beau, sous le soleil et la bruine au pays de la Sagouine. Ah, ça swing au pays de la Sagouine, ça chante au pays de la Sagouine, l'Acadie de tout partout s'y donne.